Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Do You Believe in the Virgin?
Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on your ancestral house such days as has not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
As I was preparing this message, I was reminded of a story that didn't quite make it into the sermon, but I enjoy it so much I thought I'd share it with you anyway. A couple of years ago, a pastor got a new computer, and as he was learning all the keystrokes, he was delighted to find a key that was a find and replace, a search and replace button, so that he could highlight a name and change it to another name without having to retype the whole document. And this just seemed wonderful to him as he was thinking about weddings and funerals, all the liturgy, he could just change the names. So one day he was preparing a funeral service for a woman named Edna. So he went through and changed all the names of the formerly deceased to Edna. All was going well until it came time in the service for the congregation to recite the Apostles' Creed when he heard this affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Edna. So, just a good reminder, despite advances in technology, always good to proofread the bulletin before we print it. As I said, I just like the story. Luke chapter 1, the 26th through the 38th verses. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be called Great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. But Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of this day, for the privilege of worship. And now as we sit beneath the teaching of your word, may the words of my mouth, may the reflections, the meditations of our hearts find acceptance in your sight, for it is you and you alone we desire to please, and that through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Do you believe in the Virgin? That's all she asked him, and then she waited for his answer. A number of years ago, I had a young friend, I'll call him Tony, who met and fell in love with a young woman from Spain. I'll call her Maria. They became engaged and began to make wedding plans, but Tony had yet to meet Maria's family, and both of them knew that he needed to do that before they would ever approve of this marriage. So they made the long trip over to meet them. As he was being introduced around the family circle, parents and siblings and aunts and uncles and cousins, they finally came to Maria's grandmother, who signaled for Tony to draw a little closer, to lean in. She had a question for him, and this is what she asked. "Do you believe in the Virgin?" Well, needless to say, it caught him off guard, because he didn't really know what she was asking. Knowing she was a devout Catholic, was she asking a theological question? Was she asking about his past experiences or about his relationship with her granddaughter? He found himself in a momentary quandary, not being sure exactly how to answer this unexpected question. And yet that's exactly the question that's being asked of us today. The ancient prophecy of Isaiah concerning the birth of the Messiah says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin," the Hebrew word is actually most often translated "the young woman," but here it says, "Look, the virgin is with child and shall bear a son and shall call him Emmanuel," which we know means God is with us. In the Gospel of Luke, we read, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin whose name was Mary. So these passages speak to us of the way in Jesus' birth God fulfills the ancient prophecy regarding the promised coming of Messiah. And they form for us the basis of our confession of faith that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Now, this may be the testimony of Scripture and the historic confession of the church, but the same question is being asked of us that was being asked of Tony. Do you believe it? Do you believe in the Virgin? And is it important that we believe in this teaching of our faith? And to that I would answer, yes, I believe that it is, because it addresses the essential question as to who Jesus was, an understanding that each of us must come to for ourselves. And rest assured, at least for today, we'll be discussing only the theological aspects of this doctrine. Theologian Karl Barth writes, "In the creeds, the assertion of the virgin birth is plainly enough characterized as a first statement about the one who was and is and will be the Son of God. It is not a statement about how he became this. It is a description of the way in which God's Son became man." Barth is making the same assertion that we have made in our conversations as we discuss the Creed or really many passages of Scripture. They often don't explain to us how something happens. They simply state that it has happened. They better proclaim than they do explain. And this statement about the virgin birth is a perfect example of that. In Luke's telling, the angel surely must have paused, at least momentarily, when Mary asked, "Well, how can this be?" as he sought to find exactly the right words to use to explain to this young woman what would soon happen to her. And he finally settles on, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy." That sounds more like proclamation to me than it does explanation. And yet it seemed to suffice. In many ways, this teaching about the virgin birth has fallen out of favor as a theological conviction. Perhaps for some it is simply too difficult a concept to grasp, or perhaps too much of a stretch to believe. Quite candidly, I find it no harder to believe this miracle than, say, the miracle of God speaking the heavens and the earth into being. I don't find it particularly difficult to believe that God has the capability to, in fact, conceive of a child by the Holy Spirit in a virgin. But the real essential nature of this teaching has far less to do with how Jesus was born than it does what it says about who Jesus really is. Again, as Barth writes, the truth is clear that the man Jesus Christ has his origin simply in God. That is, he owes his beginnings in history to the fact that God chose to become human. And this is what sets Jesus apart from any other would-be or wannabe Messiah. His origin is not in the desire of a man and a woman, but in God. And so the real miracle is not that it was a virgin birth at all, but that this was the means by which the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's a miracle of the incarnation we were talking about last week. And this is the cornerstone conviction of our faith, that in Jesus, God came concarne, incarnus, incarnate, in flesh. The real miracle of the virgin birth is the miracle of God taking on human form, coming to us as Emmanuel, God literally with us. So while many are willing to discard or at least to relegate this doctrine as a lesser teaching, I've always believed it to be essential, or at least a primary teaching of our faith, because it speaks to the very nature of who Jesus is and who, candidly, we need him to be if he is going to be our Redeemer. That is, he needs to be both fully human and fully divine. Or more simply put, if Jesus is not both of these, if he's not both fully human and fully divine, born of human parentage and of the Spirit of God, then his ability to win our redemption or to secure our salvation, I believe, comes into question. So this is how I come to that conclusion. The central teaching of our faith is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to be both our Savior and our Lord, and he can be both of these only if he is somehow categorically different than we are. He can do this only if he really is God in human flesh, and nothing less than that. If Jesus were, like you and me, the child born of the relations of a man and a woman, in his case Mary and Joseph, then he would be, in essence, no different than you or me at all. He may have been wiser, better, kinder, more gentle, but he would have been essentially no different than any of us, a mere man, albeit an exceptional man. If he was only human, then his death would have been an act of sacrifice and martyrdom, perhaps par excellence, but in no way could it have offered the power of salvation. It would be no different than if I was willing to sacrifice my life for you. You may be very grateful, but it would have no saving power to it. If Jesus was human only, like any one of us, he would need to be the recipient of redemption. He could not be the giver of it. And if, on the other hand, if he was only divine, with no human attributes at all, which you might recall was one of the early heresies of the church, then he may have had the power to save us, but how could we possibly relate to him, or him to us? He couldn't really understand what it means to be human, or to struggle as we struggle, or to have questions of faith as we have questions of faith. And his teachings would surely fall on deaf ears, because we could always say, well, yeah, that's easy for you to say because you're God and we're not. So if Jesus is going to be both our Savior and our Lord, then it only makes sense that he would have to be both fully human and fully divine, which is the cornerstone confession of our faith and the essential teaching of this theological doctrine that we call the doctrine of the virgin birth. A mystery? Oh, absolutely. Beyond the means or the imagination of God? Not even close. As the angel very plainly reminded Mary, and now us in our hearing, nothing is impossible with God. And that satisfied Mary. So she says, then let it be with me, according to your word. And it was so. So the truth of the virgin birth is not simply that it was a virgin birth, but surely God could have chosen any number of means to demonstrate or to provide for our salvation. No, the truth of the virgin birth is that this is the means by which God chose to take on human flesh. In this particular, and we might say peculiar way, God became like us so that we could become like God. This is the means by which the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth, the means by which we are able to see His glory. So friends, our faith rests on the conviction that Jesus of Nazareth, the one we call the Christ, is both fully human and fully divine. And in this, He and He alone is capable of being both our Savior and our Lord as no one else can. So if Jesus is not both of these, then He might be a great teacher, might have been a great philosopher, might have been a great role model, but He certainly couldn't be our Savior. But since He is both of these, fully human and fully divine, our salvation is assured as we put our trust in Him. So given then that this is the means by which God chose to allow His Word to become flesh, the question is suddenly very straightforward and essential for us to consider and answer for ourselves. Do you believe in the Virgin? Tony hesitated for a moment, all eyes of Maria's family fixed upon him, and then he thought, wait a minute, I don't really know what she's asking me. But I do know about myself, and I know about Maria, and I do know what the scriptures say about Mary. So he simply answered, yes. And with that, the grandmother gave him a big hug and welcomed him to the family. May we with him, and with them, and with believers through the centuries, in the gratitude of faith, say, yes, I do believe in the Virgin. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, be known to us again this day. By the same ministry of your Holy Spirit, may our hearts be opened to hear and receive this good news, as was Mary's long ago. Be born in us this day, we pray. Through Christ our Lord, and to you we give all thanks and praise. Lord, hear our prayer.